B-Pod Studios.
The dynamic duo.
Don't feed me crap.
Of Boston Sports Radio.
Yeah, get it right, stupid.
Felger and Mass. Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Celtics look like they're in the 14th round of a heavyweight fight. And Miami's come out fresh. Heat by six. Right-hand dribble. Tatum stripped to the ball. Clean. Struce off to the races. Butler picks off Grant Williams. Struce will slam it with two hands. Timeout, Ime Udoka. Jason Tatum is exhausted. That's just the reality of it.
Well, if you're Jason Tatum, you have to battle through this.
Bad pass by Tatum. Butler steps in the passing lane. Picks it off. Goes the distance. Pump fake. Forces it up and in. A 22-2 run for Miami. Bad pass by Tatum again. Another steal for Butler. Two-hand slam and a disastrous sequence for Jason Tatum.
Butler running through the passing lane.
Five turnovers for Tatum. A 25-point turnaround in game one. Boston from up 13 to down 12.
You know, it's on me. I had six, seven turnovers. Just knowing that I got to take care of the ball better. Especially in those situations when they're going on runs like that. Obviously, you know, I don't want to turn the damn ball over like that. But, you know, I guess just out of the course of the game, things happen. And they go on runs. That's what it is. Throughout the course of the playoffs, we've done a great job of responding to runs after, you know, call a timeout, things like that. For whatever reason, we didn't today. I'll be the first one to say I'll take the blame for that. I got to lead better. I got to play better, especially in those moments. You know, and I'm just looking forward to responding, you know, next game.
And that's where we start with that one last night. Jason Tatum got his lunch money stolen, got his pocket picked. I don't know what cliche you want to use. You're a writer, Maz. You could come up with something. Get punked by Jimmy Butler. Where did we start with that one last night?
Oh, God, please, Tatum, that run in the third quarter. What a freaking joke that was. And not just him, all of them. The whole thing. Miami didn't really show up in the first half, if you ask me. So they want to give you control of the game. You got control of the game. You come out in the second half, Miami decides to play, and you act like, as I said to someone, you look like a fourth grader who just got asked to take the SAT.
So there's another one. That's
what I was looking for. Okay, a fourth grader. All of a sudden, it's exam time, and you don't know what the hell to do. What? What? Like, that's what it was. I thought they completely melted down. And I couldn't help but look at Tatum and Brown in that particular scenario and say, so wait a minute. Marcus Smart, who by his own account is your emotional leader. I mean, as he goes, you go, as we know from his earlier accounts.
I set the tone.
Yes, he sets the tone. Okay, but he
well,
is,
I mean, it doesn't nights like last night sort of feed his thing?
Yes, yes. And this is so I'm starting to, this is sort of it. Like, there's some truth to it. And also, I think Al Horford, and this is corny, but he's sort of their, to me, their cerebral leader.
The calming presence.
Yes, like yeah. The sort of the stabilizing veteran guy who's always where he's supposed to be. He's just an axis for them, right? He's something they can all play off of because you can get your bearings based on where Horford is. So, and I mean that physically as much as anything else. So you take away those two anchors, they get punched in the nose and they start bleeding all over the place and that's it. It's over. It was over. That was it in like 6 minutes.
Yeah, the turnaround was crazy. Like I said yesterday, I thought they'd lose. I thought fatigue would be a factor, and maybe it was. But I'm sorry. I don't think you get let off the hook just because they didn't have Horford and Smart. And yeah, they'll need Smart on Jimmy Butler. But they were killing this team in the first half. At one point, I turned to my wife and said, the Heat stink. This might go five. You had Pritchard hitting from deep, Williams killing him on both ends, Aaron Nesmith, of all people, making big blocks. I was like, he's in the game, and he's making plays. They got cocky. They played like a-holes. They were way too sloppy with the ball. And how many times does Jaylen Brown over-dribble into dumb turnovers? And Jimmy Butler woke up and punked their asses.
So does that change your analysis from the first half, though, Murray? I mean, in other words...
No, they should still beat this team. They right. should. I just think they got stupid in that second half.
Right, so this is an analysis of the game. It doesn't change your view of the series going forward, does it?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. I still think that the Celtics are a better, deeper team.
They lost focus. They just lost focus. And again, you know, you want to say Miami amped it up. They did. So you just turtle? Like you don't answer? And the way you turn the ball over, you know, if Robert Williams catches another pass and brings it down to where the little guys can swipe it out of his hands, I'm going to pull his hair out.
But was he one of the problems?
No, but my point is, it was emblematic of sort of the whole thing. Miami swarming all over you. So you dribble into traffic, you bring the ball down and let them swipe at it. I just felt like they were complicit in it. They didn't really resist it. They didn't fight back.
Yeah, they played right into it. And I think it's one of the reasons that Ime Udoka was losing his mind, and quickly, too. And they turned into the worst version of themselves in that second half.
They really did. It was just frustrating. It was hard to watch.
So it doesn't change my view of the series. I still think it should be the Celtics series. They should be favored and all of that. So I still like the Celtics here. I still think they're the better team. I still think they should prevail. A couple things did stand out, though, and you know, I'm going to monitor going forward. Well, one is Jimmy Butler, and obviously it was just a tremendous night for him, and he's had a tremendous playoffs. And I've always liked the guy, but I've never put him on that true superstar level, right? I mean, I wouldn't put him on that plane of what you just faced, which was Durant and then Giannis. Those guys are MVP, top two, three players in the league kind of guy. I've never, and no one has, ever considered Jimmy Butler in that realm. But does that mean he's going to be easier? And that's sort of what I'm rethinking. That this is another test for you, and you've got another guy in your face. And this guy isn't better than Durant. He's not better than Giannis. But could he be tougher?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yes.
He's kind of a psycho.
So when I mean tougher, I just don't mean his physical or mental toughness, because I think Giannis has some of those qualities too. A lot of them, except Butler's a different kind of tough. He's sort of
mean tough.
I don't know, U.S. tough. Giannis is just different all around, and tough and competitive and all of that. But Jimmy Butler's tough in a way that I guess maybe is more American tough. I don't know how to quite put it, but
I know don't cross sports. You know, he reminds me of Steve Smith, the wide receiver. He's like that dude.
Yeah. So, but
street tough.
Well, so this I do know. He's different. It's different. It's going to be a different kind of test than Giannis was, than Durant was. And whether Butler's better than those guys, worse than those guys, he's different, and he might be a tougher out, not just tougher physically or mentally. I mean a harder out for you because. And this is just something to look at going forward. You know, it occurs to me, maybe it's his time. Maybe it's his time and he smells it. It's his time and he knows it and he's peaking. And that guy's peaking. Where Giannis won it last year, didn't have his second best player, maybe somewhere in the deep recesses of his mind said, it's probably not going to be our year anyway without Middleton. We did it last year. Whatever, you just lose that little half step of edge after you win it the year before. Durant's 1-2, and that whole team's in la-la land. And so while Jimmy Butler isn't nearly as good individually as Giannis or Durant, could he be a tougher out for you because it's his time, he knows it, and he's at the absolute peak of his powers?
Oh, he's playing the best basketball he's ever played. That's the best I've ever seen him last night. That's the best game I've ever seen him play. I thought he was in complete control of the game. And again, you know, even when it was the Celtics were scoring, I thought Butler was just poised, under control, sort of everything was plotted. And look, he was awesome. He was absolutely freaking awesome. And you know what play stuck out to me last night with him? Early in the game when he stuck his shoulder in Jaylen Brown's chest and knocked him back about 3 feet. And it was you ready for this, kid? That's what it was. You ready for 7 games of this? I am going to shoulder you right in the chest and knock you back so you know what's coming. What this series is.
There were a
Did
few
you guys
of these.
See that?
Yeah, there were a few of these last night. He shot over Pritchard at one point when they were killing him, and he just kept staring at Pritchard. And Pritchard looked away. He was like, oh, okay, I got nothing here. I shouldn't be defending you. And then, of course, the block on Tatum, which I thought was the icing on the cake. I didn't know he had ups like that.
Yeah, Mike, I'll find it for you. Okay?
Yeah,
it was early in the game. Brown was guarding him, was down near the basket, and just like he was trying to create space, but it was hard.
Call a foul?
I don't remember. They may have, but I don't think they called it on him. They might have called it on Brown. But I remember I reacted to it and went, ooh. Like, that looked like it hurt. That looked like it hurt.
Well, so, you know, the other takeaway is an old takeaway, but last night was another one of those painful nights of watching you. And you know, I think Grant Williams has quickly ascended to being, if not your most insufferable player, you know, part and parcel with your unsufferable players like Marcus Smart, and certainly brings some qualities just like Marcus Smart does. But holy crap, between the inflated self of sense, which I think he's getting like Marcus Smart, you know, all of a sudden he's the one mic'd up with the speeches on the sideline.
Oh, that got annoying real quick.
Dude, you're a backup. You're a backup. But you're the guy. You're the guy with the mic on the national broadcast yelling at your teammates on the sidelines. And never mind the rolling around on the deck. I mean, he made an ass of himself. He made an ass of himself all night long. Going down, trying to draw fouls. Udoka called out the team, and I think, if not by name, pretty much specifically him, for saying part of the problem in that third quarter is that we ran into physicality, got too obsessed with the officials, tried to draw fouls versus making the right play, and boy, was that Grant Williams. And it's sort of like maybe he fancies himself another version of Marcus Smart, winning plays, those little intangible things. I'm going to draw a foul. I'm going to get in your face. I'm going to be vocal. But you kind of stink, and it's kind of insufferable. And it's like one of those nights where I look at the way he played and said, well, that's not how you win. That's not how you win, and you're just kind of missing it. Just like I think Marcus Smart misses it at times and takes it too far in the wrong direction. And now I got to watch Grant Williams for six more games rolling around on the turf. Oh, please. Give me a break. He was an embarrassment last night. I think he sort of represented how you came unglued in that game. What are your thoughts? 617-779-0985. Two right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mash.
I'm not even going to look it up because I'd rather just deliver that to you.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
A lot of them were just strictly playing in the crowd, trying to draw a foul, or, you know, instead of just making the right play. So, you know, we all got caught up in the officiating a little bit in that quarter when they got physical. And I think instead of trying to make the right player drive and kick, get to the basket, we were looking for fouls. And those led to some of those turnovers. It's just we got caught up in the physicality and tried to draw fouls instead of making the right read.
That's so true. It's a common refrain on this team. Such an issue. Gets in the way all the time. All right, we gave you some of our opening thoughts. What are yours? Right to the call. The calls. Eli in the car. Go ahead, Eli.
Hey, last night's game made me realize that there's a new captain in town, and his name is Grant Curry. I don't know why his teammates started calling him that, but I think it's really getting to his head. And it's just bothering me because I feel like he thinks he is the leader of this team now, and he is sort of like a Marcus Smart type. I think it's really getting to him. It's getting to the team. Like Jaylen Brown, there was one shot that they had where Grant was talking to him, and he was like not even paying attention to him. It's like, dude, back up.
Marcus Smart's enough. You got one of those guys. Now you got another one? Another guy? Another bench role player who's thinks he's better than he is and got a big mouth and is constantly running his mouth and then constantly gumming up the game just from a basketball casual fan or neutral fan sort of standpoint, you know, completely grinds the game to a halt. He's on the deck constantly embarrassing himself. You got another one of those guys? Now I got to watch two of them? Never mind. I don't think it helps. I don't think he minus 14 last night. What did he do for you?
Yeah, it's 5 fouls and 7 points.
Jesus.
I mean, like, you know, that struck me last night, too, with Williams. It's like, they gave this guy the mic?
And all of a sudden, you got Willis Reed on your bench. I don't know why I mentioned Willis Reed, but either way, you know what I mean. NBA legend, Grant Williams. Bill in Gloucester. Go, Bill.
Hey, guys, how's it going? So, long story short, Tatum's handle has always been way too high. He's been making those dribble, turnover, get stripped of the ball moves since his rookie season. Can't believe he still does that. But last night's performance might have been the best thing to happen to this team right now. It's good that it happened the first game of the series because it's going to go seven, probably. But, I mean, him and Brown got to work on their handles, and we have to pray Al Horford comes back. What do you guys think? I'll take my answer off.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing about this could be good for them because it gives them a wake-up call is true. I mean, that's how they've carried themselves all season. Regular season, playoffs, the whole thing. So that is true. If they are going to – if they just keep going how they've been going, they will respond and have a big game too. So, like, that I agree with. What was the second piece?
Some Horford?
Oh, the hand? Oh, yeah. They're screwed without Horford. Agree or disagree?
No, they're not screwed. They could use him, though. I like his steadying presence. That's what I like more than anything else. I'm not talking about the points. I'll take all the stuff that comes with him. Don't get me wrong. You know, the outside shooting, the defense. But to me, it's the steadying presence. Because I do, there are times when I look at them and say, what the hell was that?
He'd help, but the more important of the two that we're missing is Smart. You need Smart on Jimmy Butler. You need someone who's a late 90s type NBA player in today's NBA, like Butler is, to guard him. And that's what Marcus Smart is.
And I know one other thing. As he talked about the handle, okay, the handle on Tatum and Brown, you got to work on that. What's it going to get better now? Like, you know, maybe by next season we'll see an improvement. It is what it is now. My issue is we know it. It's been there all year. It's been there forever, really. And you keep dribbling into traffic. What the hell are you doing? You're dribbling into traffic. What are you doing?
We've got Eric in Mansfield. Hi, Eric.
Hey, guys, what's going on? Real quickly, you're right. That was an awful third quarter because the first half, we were playing, seriously, lights out, and I thought there was a chance we were going to blow these guys out. But real quickly, when you guys started off your show, I am not on board that Jimmy Butler is a superstar. Felger, before you cut me off, I'm not making excuses, but the first half, he went to the foul line 13 times. He was 12 for 13. If he didn't go to the foul line that many times, he doesn't score 41 points because he made, you know, most of his points were coming from the, you know, the first half. He was going to the foul line.
So and they what? Weren't, well, no, hold on. Well, just finish.
They weren't a basket and one. So you take that away. He scores maybe, say he gets 21 points. Are
okay.
You guys sitting here saying that he had a great game? And
so listen, all right, now I gave you a minute. Go ahead, Maz.
So he gets to the line. So what? That's his game. That's his game. What, that's not allowed? That he can suck you into a foul because you're stupid enough to get baited? He's very crafty. He's a very crafty player, and he's tough as nails. He'll take any sort of contact in and around the inside the three-point line, around the paint. He's lethal. He's lethal down there. And so he got him at the line. I don't give a rat's ass where he gets him.
I don't think he's a superstar. I just told you, I've never, nor would I put him on the level of Durant or Giannis, what you just faced. I don't think he's that guy. But could he be a tougher out for you because it's his time, he's smelling it, and he's peaking, and it's just his time and he knows it, and so he's emptying his bucket. And could he be a more dangerous guy for you than the Giannis and Embiid, or Giannis and Durant? Now, but just because he gets to the line isn't why I wouldn't say he's not a superstar. That's why I meant to mention Embiid. Embiid and Giannis get to the free throw line constantly. Those are, you know, MVP guys. Does Jokic get to the line a lot? I mean, I know Giannis and Embiid are at the line constantly. Didn't Embiid lead the league in free throw attempts or something?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, he was up there.
He's always up there.
Yeah.
So just because you get to the line a lot doesn't mean you're not a superstar. In fact, two of the biggest superstars in the league get to the line a crap ton. So that to me isn't it. With Jimmy Butler, I just don't think he's a good enough shooter to be, you know, or quite long enough to be in that, to be on that list. But last night, I don't know. You should open your eyes a little bit to how dangerous he is.
You know what he is? He's a great competitor, is what he is.
John in Connecticut, go ahead, John.
Hi, guys. When the Celtics made that trade for White and Theis, I thought it was a good trade, mostly because I think the Celtics stars liked the trade. But now that White can't throw the ball in the ocean and Theis is, well, he's Theis, you know, I'm starting to wonder if that was a good strategy. Maybe keeping the stars happy isn't what it all, you know, cracked up what it,
well,
you know.
I don't get that last line, but the Derek White thing is interesting. It's like, you know, was it a good trade or bad trade? Depends on which day you're asking me.
Right.
Because it's really that way. And I think there's been more bad days than good days. But sometimes White looks like he's impactful, the pace with which he plays at, and he's, you know, decent defensively, and sometimes he gets you some buckets, and you say, that guy makes sense, good trade. And then there's nights like last night where he's 3 points minus 11, 1 for 4 from the floor.
Also falling all over the place, too.
And falling all over the place, and it's like, this guy's really not that good. Could use Richardson shooting out here tonight. So it's like, I still think net-net, I'd rather have Richardson back here. I've never really gotten the Derek White thing, but he definitely has some nights where you say, well, this guy makes sense. So I don't know how that, you know, I don't know how you, you know, in the final analysis, what you are with Derek White, but he's going to have nights and then he's not going to have nights. He's that kind of guy.
Just like every other bench player they have, basically, or role player that. And again, the only thing to me that he gives them is continuity. Smart goes out, he jumps in. It's effectively the same kind of player. So they don't have to change a lot. That part I do like. And I would say when he's right, I think he can play relatively mistake-free, other than the fact that he can't throw it in the freaking ocean.
Brendan in South Boston. Go ahead, Brendan.
Hey, how you doing? I just want to talk about leadership. Jason Tatum, I think there's three main factors to being a really good leader on a good team. High-end talent, Tatum's always had that. Response to adversity, I really think that game 6 against Milwaukee really showed that, and then we'll see what happens in this series, but he's showing it this year. And then last year is accountability to yourself and your teammates. I loved his press conference the other night when Marcus Smart tried to throw him under the bus. Well, kind of. And then last night when he took accountability for playing terrible, blaming himself for the loss. I love that. I'll hang up and listen.
It's a good point. We all think he's matured. He's crossed the threshold. He's the guy. And so we'll see it tomorrow night. I mean, I think that's where we're at with him. It, just because he had a bad night last night or sort of wilted under the pressure or he let Jimmy Butler pick his pocket, steal his lunch money, doesn't mean he's not a high-end player or a good leader. You have bad nights, even in the playoffs. It's the great ones, the championship ones that come back the next night and atone for it and, you know, or even better the next night and that sort of thing. And Tatum's done that this playoffs, and you should expect him to do it again tomorrow night. I mean, you really should.
It's about answering.
We've got Steve in New Hampshire. Hi, Steve. Steve.
Hello.
Hi, Steve. You're on the air.
Hey, listen, in regards to Marcus Smart, he does set the tone whether you like it or not. I mean, he's the best you got. I always thought Butler on this team beside Tatum would have helped Tatum tremendously to have a wingman like that.
Okay, well, you're not getting Jimmy Butler, but just let me stop you on Marcus Smart. I don't know if he sets the tone. I think, God, he thinks he does. And I think half the time he's more of an annoyance than he is a tone setter. Like, again, last night, even yelling at the guys on the bench. Like, I don't know. Did that help? Did they need him? But what I think Marcus Smart does is, if they try and switch a wing onto your point guard's a great defender. So last night they picked on Peyton Pritchard. And if Marcus Smart is out there, they can't pick on Marcus Smart on those switches. That's huge. And he's also an energy guy. So when the energy picked up in the third quarter with Miami, Marcus Smart, if he's on the floor, you have a chance to match it or answer it in some way, shape, or form. And so I think from a practical standpoint of his skill set, you missed him last night. You didn't miss his tone setting. Stop it with that.
No, you missed his compete, though, right? I mean, in that stretch, I think you missed...
Well, his energy, I guess maybe we're parsing words, but...
Yeah, to me, that's sort of part and parcel to the same thing. He's engaged when he's out there. He's engaged. They missed a little of that. I mean, it'd be, you know...
No, they missed him last night. I'm just not going to give him... They missed the intangible of his leadership. Blow that out your ass.
No, the bigger thing is they were able to pick on Pritchard.
Yes.
That's for sure. And they found the contact with Butler. I'll show you during the break.
Excellent. Here's an update from Big Jim Murray. We come back with more of your thoughts on Celts Heat Game 1 last night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The most popular afternoon radio show in Boston.
Back in your face, suck it!
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Celtics control the jump ball. Final minute, third quarter. Boston down 13. Tatum attacks the paint, throws out to the corner. Neesmith, good look at a three. Short, rebound. Miami. Dedmon. And they're calling a foul on Tatum. Dedmon sold it. And both teams want to review. Tatum is saying, I didn't foul him. And Dedmon is saying, review it for a flagrant. Celtics are over the limit. And free throws for Dedmon. Celtics are considering challenging, but they shouldn't. Because Tatum hit him in the face.
Yeah, he brushed him across the face. But what a delayed reaction that was.
Yeah, it was.
Talking about delayed. And Tatum reaching for that basketball then.
That's another moment. I just love those. On both ends. I it's more on Tatum than Dedmon, but you know the play I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Dedmon grabs a rebound. Tatum swipes down. And then Dedmon, kind of a delayed reaction, snaps his head back. So you see that in hockey all the time with high sticks where they're trying to buy the high stick. But Jason Tatum calling for the review. Dude. You felt his face on your hand. So you know that you drew contact. And if it was a glancing blow, you felt it, right? So
absolutely.
On what planet are you calling for your coach and your team to waste their only review in game one of the Eastern Conference Finals when you had to have felt your hand on his face? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
It's like, God. And then Dedmon, I don't know whether to blame him or not. Sometimes that is a delayed reaction. It's like, what was that? Oh, you know, like, I don't know.
Oh, he sold it. Don't give him the benefit of the doubt.
Fine, he sold it. The whole thing's annoying. The whole thing is annoying. How big is that guy, Dedmon? It's 6'11", I don't know, 6'11", 280, all muscle. And it's like, And Tatum, who clearly felt him, had to have, unless his hands are numb or he has a bionic hand and has no feeling in his hand, had to have known he got him across the forehead, wiping down his face.
No, he's getting nerve damage.
Yet he asked his coach to waste his one challenge because why? He just has to do it? Oh, it's insufferable on all ends. It's just insufferable. Play. Can you all just play? Just play.
Nope.
Oh, God. You feel yourself doing that all the time.
They can't do it.
Grant Williams is the worst offender. And I think the Celts are worse than most every team that I watch on a regular basis. They all do it. But you're worse. And it's just, you get into these games, it's like, can you all just play? And I feel like saying it to the refs, too. Just let it go. Let it go. Strus pushes, gives Grant Williams a little push underneath the basket after a made basket. Grant Williams... His ass alone weighs about $175.
It's pretty juicy.
It's up there.
So, like, how big is he? 6'9"? 280?
No, he's like 6'6".
Okay, whatever. He's a moose. You couldn't push him over with one hand if you, you know, Strus gives him a one-handed little thing. He goes flying into the stanchion. Both technical. The game stops. Adebayo tries to block out Grant Williams or Rob Williams on what he thought was a shot. It was an alley-oop, so he undercut him. They have to go to the monitor. Like, the whole thing, the whole game flow, it's like, just... Why do they have to go to the monitor on the Adebayo thing on Rob Williams? It was a foul, and by the letter of the law, it was a flagrant. I don't know if I like the rule, but if you undercut a guy in the air, whether it's intentional or not, and I thought it was clearly unintentional, he thought it was a shot, not a lob. But either way, he was up in the air, he got underneath him, he flipped him, flagrant one, that's the rule, clear as day in real time. Why'd you have to go to New Jersey for that? And announce it. Wait for the replay. Announce the ruling. How long did that take? Just call it on the floor, it was obvious. He undercut him, flagrant one, it's the rule. Put him on the line, give him the ball, let's go. And oh my God, hitting the deck and rolling around and flopping and the, oh God, I need a review. And just play. Just play.
So can I add one more? Because I made a note of this last night that we'll add onto the list, and it happens every game, you know, a handful of times. Okay, guy goes to the basket, jumps up, initiates contact, or there is contact, I should say. Shot goes up, it misses, then they blow the whistle.
Yeah, they've been doing that for years.
I know, I hate it. I hate it. So what, it's only a foul if it doesn't go in? I mean, if it doesn't go in?
Pretty much.
I can't tell you how much I hate that.
I don't.
Oh, I despise it. Please. It's either a foul or it isn't. If it's a foul, blow the effing whistle. You got to wait to see if it goes in before you blow the whistle?
I actually kind of like that.
I hate it. It's stupid. It's ridiculous. So again, it's just all about whether you make the shot or not.
I'm just worried about game flow.
That factors in because obviously you didn't think it was a foul. But you called it a foul because the shot didn't go in.
Yeah, no, it's kind of like, it's kind of a foul. Did it prevent you from making the basket? So I'm not going to call it if it goes in because it wasn't that bad of a foul. But if it doesn't go in, I'll call. I don't know. It's just sort of, at least he's not going to the monitor.
Okay, but that doesn't, again, look, it stops the game, and the game doesn't need to be stopped.
You like strawberry, I like vanilla. We'll just agree to disagree. I don't mind that play so much. But you can continue.
No, that's it. That's it. It drives me bananas. Blow the whistle. It's a foul or not. One or the other. It doesn't matter what the outcome is.
The NBA is annoying, bottom line.
Oh, my God. It drives me bananas.
They make it a very difficult watch at times.
Nate's in Tingsboro. Hi, Nate.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I got a couple takes. Grant and Rob Williams. Grant pissed me off beyond belief last night. He played a role that shouldn't have been his. And I think that it made the team almost perform a little worse, to be completely honest with you, because I know it pissed me off. But and Rob Williams, I know Tony took a shot at him earlier, but I think he looked almost vintage. He looked really good yesterday, like pre-injury. Rob Williams, I'll hang out. Let me know what you think.
Yeah, is Rob Williams a problem for the Heat?
Yes.
Well, he wasn't that first half, but they defended the paint better in the second half, though.
Yeah, he's got to be active, but yes. Yeah, this is why I wanted him for this series. He makes Adebayo work. He offsets Adebayo. So you need to neutralize Adebayo in some way, because otherwise he'll just run up and down the floor and do whatever the hell he wants. So Williams was a factor early in that game. I liked what he was doing, but holy crap, when they make pass the ball to you under the basket, can you hold it up there and just go to the hoop?
Catch it high, keep it high.
Yes! Instead of putting it down there, where freaking Vincent can hack away and take it away from you. What are you doing? That's like 101.
But that's another guy. The Rob Williams thing that I worry about is he's on the floor and rolling around and holding something constantly.
Oh, yeah. It's all a matter of time before there's another injury that knocks him out.
And with him, it's really not just all drama. It's some drama, but ultimately he's going to roll around on the ground and hold something and not come back with it. So that's a worry with him. You're holding your breath all the time with him. Long commercial free segment is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What do you want to talk about?
Mike in Framingham, what?
Felger and Mass.
Hey, I love your show. I don't agree with anything you guys ever say, though.
More Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Something tells also, too. Man.
Yep, there is no doubt. And what you wanted to see in a game the Celtics were getting run off the floor is, would they give the same fight and effort that they have all year in the fourth? And they did. But they didn't have nearly enough in the tank. They didn't have nearly enough personnel to be competitive in game one. And Jimmy Butler was never going to let this thing get close. Ball in the hands of Peyton Pritchard. Moving ahead to Jaylen Brown. The final seconds will tick off the clock. It hits triple zeros. And in a must-win scenario, Jimmy Butler made sure that Miami finished the deal. The final score in game one, Miami 118, Boston 107.
Final call last night on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Back to your thoughts. Ian is in New Bedford. He joins us next. Hi, Ian.
What's up, guys? I just think it's unbelievable. Derek White, he was terrible on the offensive end, but really he wasn't much better on the defensive end, getting crapped on by a third-string point guard that I swear to God was fresh out of a 2K creative player, Gabe Vincent. Who the hell is that, man?
He starts.
I honestly think Peyton Pritchard's pretty good on offense, so I think he's worth the offensive boost at the expense of a little bit more defensive liability because White isn't giving you anything. Thanks, guys.
Okay, you tell me, Maz. Peyton Pritchard, he goes for 18 points.
Right.
But they picked on him a little bit. He was only a minus one, but that's because he scored in the first half particularly. But second half, I thought they picked on him pretty good.
Yeah, definitely.
So you tell me.
What were his minutes?
He played 30 minutes.
Yeah, too much.
Too much Pritchard? So what do you do there with Marcus Smart out? Do you want more Derek? This is my question. White or Pritchard in a lot of cases.
I mean, I go White there because I think these are going to be low-scoring games, and then you pick your spots with Pritchard just because you're giving up too much at the defensive end. Miami's too smart. They'll exploit him every time. They'll do it to him what they did to Kemba. I like Pritchard, and again, I've admitted I was wrong. Pritchard can – he's a better player than I thought he was and would be. But you, in a series like this where it's that physical and it's going to be tight, you can't give up points at the other end.
Bill in Haverhill. Hi, Bill.
Hey, what's up, guys? I was thinking Marcus Smart has to be the vocal leader so Tatum and Brown can just go out there and play the game. So I feel like their game is at their best when they're just out there playing and not like thinking about anything other than just playing. I think that's why Marcus Smart's kind of learned his role to go out there, play hard, play defense, feed them the ball, and then take on that leadership role so that they can relax and be star players, because we all know that they're not the vocal leaders that the team needs.
I think it's overrated.
And I think that that's a negative. Like, those guys, what, they can't also be that? Like, that to me is a detriment on behalf of both of them.
Yeah, I think it looks bad for them. Again, I sort of connected to what you were saying in Game 6 about how there's this sort of void at some critical times, and Marcus Smart ends up stepping into it. That's what I felt like last night was a little bit. And again, I just felt like in that third quarter, they needed someone to just say, guys, what are we doing?
Well, I think they needed that. I needed someone to play a certain way. Him telling them, guys, what are we doing? He did it on the bench. We keep showing the clips, him in his pajamas.
No, you're right. It's more about the way you play.
Yeah, so
I'll give you that.
It's sort of, I mean, that's what I think it is. They miss what he brings on the floor. The vocal leadership thing, you need some of it, but I just overrated. Doesn't mean it's a zero. It's just overrated. That's not what they were missing. They weren't missing Marcus Smart's vocal leadership.
Yeah, and I don't mean that it's the, you know, I mean, I say it as it comes out vocal, but I don't mean it's like, I don't mean they need a cheerleader. That's not what I mean. But I they missed some edge last night. They missed some resistance and some balls and some edge.
Brendan's in the car. Hi, Brendan.
Yeah, so just a couple of points. So the reason why Grant Williams was mic'd up and not Jason or Jalen Brown was because, like, Jason and Jalen, they don't really have the most enduring, outgoing, charismatic personalities. So obviously they took Grant Williams because he talks a lot and, you know, he's full of life. And then also, too, like, the reason why it's not a bad thing to have a role player in that kind of leadership vocal role is because, again, if the star player's not doing it, you need someone to be able to motivate and help. I know it's the coach's job, too, but, you know, you need some players to be able to boost people up and help them out.
Yes, kind of. Fine line. I mean, I think Marcus Smart takes it too far, where he thinks he's better than he is. I mean, for Pete's sake, after Game 6 in Milwaukee, when Tatum went for 46 points and made every big shot you needed to make to preserve that series, Marcus Smart came out after the game and said, "We go as I go." I had to come in and set the tone. And I just think that takes it too far. And I think in the past, Marcus Smart has been a problem as it relates to that. And now you have another guy like Grant Williams. It's like, there's one thing to be sort of that vocal role player that fills that thing, however important you think that thing is. But you go, okay, fine. But then when that guy takes it too far and he shoots more than he should, talks more than he should, carries himself bigger than he is, then it becomes an issue. And it's an issue with Smart. It has been over the years. And now there's another guy. Never mind just aesthetically. Now I got to watch and listen Grant Williams, who's just, he's a bench player, a decent little player. But now all of a sudden he's Grant Curry, whatever they're calling him. I got to listen to him all game. Never mind the flopping on the ground and grinding the game to a halt with all that crap. It's not that good of a watch, and I don't think it really helps the team at the end of the day.
Were you surprised he was mic'd up?
Well, I don't know, to the caller's point. I mean, Tatum would be a bore if he were mic'd up.
Okay, why does anyone have to be mic'd up?
I don't know. Did they have anyone mic'd up on Miami?
I mean, not that I remember. Mm. Maybe there was.
I don't think so.
But again, will be game two, but no, it shouldn't be a role player like Grant Williams.
But I'll tell you what, like, if it was a guy who didn't play, fine, whatever. Have a guy on the bench mic'd up. I don't give a rat's ass. The fact that Grant Williams was mic'd up does suggest, because the Celtics have to sign off on that.
Of course.
So suggests to me that they're sort of feeling their oats a little bit after the Milwaukee series. We're going to give Grant Williams a mic when Udoka comes on with Zoe and Beadle and mocks him for being kind of a clown?
That's such a good point, too. Coming off of that Game 7, you know, aren't you just inviting a guy to get ahead of himself?
Yes.
I mean, that's what that is. We've got Cam and Taunton. Hi, Cam.
Guys, what worried me more than anything last night was it looked just like the bubble. How many times in that series against Miami 2 years ago did Miami come out after a rough first half? You learned at halftime in three of your four losses in that series, if I remember correctly. And just stay composed. Butler said, guys, we're not letting this slip away. And they responded, and you had no answer. And every time you got close, Spoelstra, who we all owe an apology because he was mocked when LeBron was there. Turns out he's actually a damn good coach. He's probably the best coach in the league now. Every time you get close, calls a timeout, Miami comes out, gets a basket, goes on a run, separates again. That looked just like the bubble, and that has me worried.
Okay, what do you think about that, Maz? I mean, I forgot they were leading at half of all those games.
I didn't remember that either. I don't think it's entirely comparable or analogous to, you know, I'm going to give them a little bit of latitude on last night. Murray said this in the email, and I agree with him. I think many of us felt this way. Going into game one was going to be a tough spot. You're coming off of game six and game seven. Miami's rested. You're traveling down there. It's a hard turn to make. Okay? It's a hard turn to make. Now, you can argue that they made the harder part of it, which was at the start of the game. But I do think there is something, and I'm not making excuses for them, but I think there's something to be said for them having losing their legs in the second half of that game.
Yeah. But
so they only need one down there. I'll make a more definitive judgment after game two. Okay, so I'm not connecting this to 2 years ago. But that third quarter was a freaking debacle.
Well, there was.
That's one of the worst quarters I've ever seen a Celtics team play. This team or any other.
I do agree
that was a debacle.
With Cam a little bit in that the Heat won because of effort. And that's how I think that they won that series in the bubble a couple of years ago. So the Celtics matched their intensity for that first half. Can they run with them for 48 minutes for this rest of the series? Like, I get why someone like him is nervous about that, because that did look like that series 2 years ago.
Here's a quick update. Don Sweeney with the Bruins clarified his job status today. You'll hear what that information with Big Jim Murray. Again, the headlines come with no commercials, so we're right back in 90 seconds. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.